You grew up on King James, now unto him. Here it is, a more modern version, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I'm going to try it again. You didn't feel me. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Let's try it again. Now to him. Now to him. Now to him. I'm sorry. Push five people and tell them, I'm with him. I said five people. That's three and a half. Tell five people. Tell five people, I'm with him. You may be seated in the Lord's house. You may be seated in the Lord's house. Secular humanism is a philosophy or life stance that embraces ethics, human reason, and philosophical naturalism, while simultaneously rejecting all forms of religious dogma, supernaturalism, or anything of thought on the basis of morality. Okay. In other words, you have secular humanism, you have Hinduism, you have Confucianism, you have Buddhism. What do they all have in common? Either they are agnostic in their approach, or they have a dead savior. To those of you who don't need God, or one that's no longer here, you roll with them. To the rest of us who need something real, lean on somebody and say, we with him. Go ahead. In case you're wondering who the him is, his name is Jesus. He is that precious Palestinian Jew that changed our life. And whatever else Resurrection Weekend is about, it is at least about him. It's not about some superstar preacher with a t-shirt on. It's not about just cameras in a crowded church. We're here for one reason, him. Everything about this weekend should be centered around him. I love the book of Jude. It is diminutive in size, but massive in his impact. Don't let diminutive scare you. Little, small, little book, chapter one. That's all, 24 verses. Diminutive in size, but major in its impact. We know that it clothes the benediction, verse 24, but there's some powerful stuff. Do me a favor, unearth some of the major principles of the book of Jude in your spare reading time. Let's just jump right in, because look at the first verse. Let's just attack verse 20. It's resurrection. Don't preach long. I told all my sons and daughters across the world, don't preach long. They got to go get some chicken. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit. Watch what he says. Building yourself up. Y'all just missed that. Building yourself up. That's amazing, because some people need affirmation too much. Yeah, so some people need company too much. So some people need to be affirmed too much. Don't marry them. They'll drive you crazy. They got to ask you every 5 minutes, am I okay? Do you like me? Is everything okay? Do you like somebody else before me? Do you think, are you cheating on me? That's too much. That's too much. No. You got to get to a place where if don't nobody encourage you, lean on somebody and say, go and encourage yourself. Go ahead. Yeah. Building yourself up. Watch this. With your most holy faith. In other words, you're building yourself up based on what you believe from God's word. That's why church is critical, because I need a place that builds me up. I've said for years, I've taken some shots. I don't like the word church. I don't go there, because all he preaches is health and wealth. And I keep saying the antithesis is sick and poor. So either I can preach about being sick and poor, or I can build you up. I know there are bros here busting some creep moves. I know there's some women here who are not perfect. I know there's some young people here that looked at some stuff you shouldn't have looked at on the computer. I don't want you doing none of that. It just messes up your life. But can I suggest to you, when you walk in here, it's not my job to beat you up. It's my job to build you up. Y'all pray for me. If God let me live to Tuesday, I celebrate 48 years. I done got too old to have people around me that keep breaking me down. If you're going to be my friend, you're going to have to build me up. Go lean on somebody. Go old school. Tell them, tell me something good. 35 and over. Y'all not feeling me. Can I suggest to you, I know that I have issues. If you're my friend, keep me accountable. You married to me, show me my flaws in love, but don't emasculate me. Don't make me rather be with a stripper who lying than hear your truth. The enemy will try to mess up your marriage by making you speak low to someone or telling them what they shouldn't be or what they are. No, I want you to walk in here every weekend and feel built up when you leave. Built up through the word of God. Built up. Those of you that have children that get on your last nerve, that need 3 whoopings a week. If you got to whoop them 3 times a week, give them 13 compliments. Sometimes some of you precious mothers who have children and no man in the house walk up to me, "Pastor, I can't stand him. He's standing right there. I can't stand him. He's getting all F's. He don't do what I say. He don't clean up nothing. Help him." I'd be thinking, I need to help you. I know he got some issues, but don't tear the brother down. Maybe he's mad because the man you slept with not raising him. You got to take some responsibility and say, let me speak life over my child. I got to whoop him. I got to discipline him. But building yourself up, building one another up. And then watch what Jude says. Let's walk through this. You're going to love it. Look at the next verse because it's so powerful. Because the Bible says, go easy on those who hesitate in the faith. Go after those who take the wrong way. Be tender with sinners. God hates sin. It stinks, but God loves a sinner. Go easy on those who hesitate. I don't know why. I'm just praying this morning. Next thing I know, I'm texting a couple bros in our church that wrecked themselves, you know, bust some moves that embarrassed them, embarrassed their family, I guess touched their character some. Just not the best stuff to be doing. And haven't been here since they fell. I've seen this happen 10, 12 times. And I text them and said, "What's up, man? Be at the last service and kiss me on my head. Let me kiss you on your head before church is over. You can be a Christian chump and run, or run up in here and tell people how to get up. That even though life may have hit me with a blow, you invite it back. This is not the place to tell people they can't get up." I found myself texting people that I haven't seen because maybe they went the wrong way. Whatever else church is for, this is why one should be a part of a ministry, so that somebody can miss you when you fall. I'm not just coming to sit on the chair because life gonna happen. I tell you, every year, every member here should do what I call a 90-day checkup. Don't let 90 days go by without hugging me or Lady Vernon. Just get in line and say, "Hey, Krisha, no tea? Me?" I'm dead serious. Why? Because the idea is, if I fall, I want somebody to come get me. Building each other up. And then the text says, be tender with sinners. Oh man, all of us have been tripping and impacted by the young player Nipsey Hussle. And if you're my age, you called him Nipsey Russell at least 4 times already. From the 70s, you'd have made the brother Nipsey Russell. And I know there's some real saved, sanctified Kentucky Fried people here saying, why would he mention that rapper who makes all these misogynist comments and cusses and degrades women? See, that's one part of him. And I know that's the only part some Christian saved people gonna talk about. But don't sleep on the fact that the brother also is loved in LA. The brother bought a whole shopping mall because some preachers preaching, but they ain't helping. He helping, but not preaching. Y'all missed that. The brother said, I want to help somebody. At the same time, I'm trying to find something to say off his record. I go to Victory Lap, his hit Smash. I want to quote him, but every other word is a cuss word, so I can't do it on Sunday. So you want me to talk about the brother, but I admire the brother. I wish I could have met the brother. Why? Because like me, he was 2 people. He has some good and some bad. Okay, y'all kill me. No. See, there's no perfect people in the world. I know you've been saying for years, Pastor, my grandmother is a saint. Baby, your grandmother was a stripper in 1936. God saved her in 81. They ain't even have poles. She just slid down trees, just breaking up her thigh, just bleeding. No poles back then, just sliding down trees trying to get some milk and butter. Grandma was a stripper. She just got saved in 82. Baby, don't you look at me like that. Old people kill me. I don't mess with all them drugs. Tell somebody you was too drunk to find a needle. Go ahead. Don't you look at me like that. Everybody in here is an ex-something, but God gave you another chance. Is there anybody in the overflow downtown that would thank God that God has sustained you and brought you back? Nipsey was 2 people. Was 2 people. He's talking about, this is my declaration, the remedy separation. I'm the Tupac of my generation. Man, can a brother get some reparation? When does preparation meet it just had me tripping as I'm reading. Why would you read that? Because I'm a relevant pastor. I got millennials and YF and teenagers and people my age. You ain't got to worry. We come in the church. We caught enough hell. Who you got to catch is those persons under 30 and 35 who need to know church not boring, and the preacher got something to say to you too. And can I say to all of you, I'm reading the lyrics off Victory Lap, and I'm going through each song and declaration, the remedy, separation. I'm the Tupac of my generation. Then I thought to myself, why did he drop Tupac? Then I go back to 50 with the song that put him on in the club, and 50 said, I want them to love me like they love Pac. I'm saying, wait a minute, what is it about Pac that both the secular and the sacred embrace him? And then it dawned on me, why do people love Pac? Because like most of us, he was wrong, but he was real. I'm going to try one more time. He was wrong, but he was real. The reason why people can identify with Tupac is because he was wrong, but real. Had a big heart and yet did some bad stuff. Those of you that remember from the 80s and from the 90s, I'm from the 80s. Y'all pray for me. I'm Eric B. and Rock Kemp. I'm Flavor Them. Don't even look at me. I go way back to EPMD. But those of you in the 90s and the 2000s, I'm from the, pray for me. I got a letter from the government. 35 and over, see? Just Google that. That's just Chuck D. That's the real rappers. They all, they old like me now. But can I suggest to you, but even when Pac comes along, look at how there's a duality of personality. On the one hand, he's saying stuff like Brenda got a baby, which is a social political pushback on the marginalization of black young girls and how they have babies because no one's watching over them. Brenda's got a baby. Brenda's barely got a brain. It's a darn shame. She barely knows her name. Then he comes with Dear Mama and says, I know you was a crack fiend, Mama, but you always was my black queen, Mama. Now he's talking about black women that even when we catch in hell, we still raise our babies. Can I get a witness here? Is there any sister here that did everything wrong, but you never left your child? When you were stripping, they were sitting in the back waiting on you. When you was drunk, you took them over Mama's house. When you made mistakes, you went and picked them up when you got through. You still raised your child. So how do you go from Brenda had a baby to Dear Mama to I get around? How you gonna go from Brenda had a baby to Dear Mama to I get around, which suggests I'm with a different chick every night? Why? Because like me, he was two people. Ooh, I feel like having church. Like me, the other young brother was two people. What do you mean? I said at Megafest in front of thousands of men and millions across the world, there is a public me and then there is a private me. There is a public me, but then there is a private me. The public me has an earned doctorate degree. The public me comes on national TV. The public me is happily married. The public me is known for uninterrupted integrity. The problem is not with the public me. The problem is with the private me. If I can just get the private me to match up with the public me, but there seems to be a dichotomy, y'all. Y'all not having church with me. Lean on somebody and say, I wish people knew who I really was. They'd pray for me more. Go ahead. If people knew what I was struggling with, they wouldn't lift me up so high. I wish I was what people thought I was. Can I suggest to you, Pastor, you didn't waste 5 minutes of your sermon on two dead brothers who meant nothing to the world. You got to be out your mind. They were two beautiful brothers who made a mistake. The only difference between me and them is that I'm with him. I wished I had 10 people up in here that knows you know better than nobody. The only thing that makes you stand apart is the Christ in you. Therefore, you should love and embrace everyone. Everybody here today with liquor or weed on their breath, you are a special guest, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, somebody give God praise for him. Look at me downtown. Somebody watching across the world. Okay, here's what I came for. Let's just tear the church up. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I want to say that again. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Y'all missed it. Let me try it again. Now to him. Everybody in here with just a myopic amount of intelligence knows that God can pick you up if you fall. But that's not what Jude said. Jude said, I need somebody in my life that can keep me from falling. I'm sorry. Lean on your neighbor and say, I'm tired of saying I'm sorry. Go ahead. Y'all just missed what I said. If you knew what I said, you just run around the church